Okay, so I apologize, but we're doing a do-over on this sugya of Bari Minei Mizonos. And not a do-over in the sense that everything we said was wrong. I don't think everything we said was wrong in the last year, but in the sense that I want to just pay a little more attention to the precise words used by the Rishonim and by the Beis Yosef and try to figure out from there what the bracha should be on schnitzel. Again, I think Twizzlers is a non-starter. I think that clearly fits into what Tosos says is just the Devik Bialma, which Tosos didn't make up. He gets that from a Gemara, that anything that's just to hold something together so that it doesn't turn to goo in the child's hands. If they were able to make solid high fructose corn syrup, then they wouldn't put any flour in the Twizzlers. So I think that's clearly going to be a shahakol. But let's just take a look at the Gemaras and the Rishonim and work our way through it. So again, the Gemara on the bottom of Lam Vavam Beis that we saw last time, the Gemara talks about Kol sheyesh bo mechameshes minei dagon, anything that has chameshes minei dagon, mevarchon alav borei minei mezonos. And the Gemara seems to be saying a chiddush that chameshes minei dagon is different than everything else. That other things where the amount that other things in the same amount would not determine the bracha of the food, the bracha of this taroves, but because you're dealing with grain, chash of a grain, so now this food is going to be a bari minei mezonos. So let's say you have a food that's 40% grain. If it were 40% potatoes, you wouldn't be saying hadama, but because it's 40% grain, you're going to say a mezonos. That's the notion that all Rishonim seem to agree. Kol sheyesh bo means that even though it's the minority, and therefore under normal circumstances would have been viewed as the tafel, and would not determine the bracha of that food, because it's grain, now it's going to determine the bracha of that food. But even within grain, the question is going to become, what exactly are the parameters? Meaning, Tosos is very clear on the bottom line of Vavim Beis, if the grain is just there, ledevek bi'alma, it's just there, ledabek, to hold the food together, but it doesn't actually really do anything else for the food. It's not, I guess, what you would call a food ingredient. It's a substance ingredient, but not a food ingredient. Doesn't play any food-like role in the tarovas, then you would not say a mezonos. But how exactly do we define playing a food-like role? How important does the grain have to be in order for it to be mezonos? Yeah.
Are you saying that the grain in a Twizzler doesn't change the taste? Of course it does.
Okay, so any ingredient in anything is going to change the taste.
Right.
Obviously, it's going to alter the taste somewhat. The question is that a desired change, or is that a necessary change because you're trying to get the substance?
Meaning, at this point, nobody would like it without the grain because everybody likes.
That's not true. I don't think that's true. I don't think that's true. I think I don't think that's true. The kids that eat it, they like the sugar. They like the. They're not interested in the fact that they have to, I guess, add more sugar to compensate for the lack of sweetness in the grain or whatever. So sometimes you have an ingredient that's there not for the taste at all. It's only there just to hold something together. Oftentimes you have something that gives a little bit of a flavor, and it also serves more than one role. I was trying to ask my wife last night when she breads chicken cutlets, like, why do you do it? Why do you put bread in there? She's like looking at me like I'm from outer space. She's like, what do you mean, what do I do? Because it's breaded chicken cutlets. You can't make breaded chicken cutlets without breading. I'm like, no, but like, what's the point of the breading? She's like, had no idea what I was asking. I'm like, is it just so that it doesn't get burnt? She's like, no. I'm like, so it's because of the flavor? She's like, I don't know. She wasn't really giving me much help in terms of the breading. Right. I should have given options. Let's take a look at what the Rishonim have to say over here. This is not the only sugya. Lamed Zayin is not the only sugya. And the Rishonim already refer us to the other Gemaras that are more explicit. Where is it? Lamed Tesam and Aleph? Is there a Gemara? Yeah. So the Gemara tells us over there as well. Where is it?
Right across from Tosfos, Dormista.
Okay. So, Amar Ravashi, Ki Avinu Beir Rav Kana Amar Lan Tavshila Desilka Delo Mafshuba Kimcha. You have this beet dish that doesn't have so much flour in it, Bar Pri Adama. Delifta Demafshuba Kimcha Tfei Bar Yimnei Mizonos. But if there's more flour in it, it's all a matter of how much flour. If there's more flour, then it's Bar Yimnei Mizonos. Vahadarama, right, if it's a turnip dish, because apparently in turnip dishes, they call for more flour. Okay. Vahadarama, idi vi idi bar pri adama. Vuhu deshadi ba kimcha tfei lidvuke bialma avdila. Vahai deshadi ba kimcha tfei lidvuke bialma avdila. So that's an explicit Gemara, that when there's flour, regardless of how much, even if it seems to be a significant amount of flour, but if it's only ledvuke bialma, if it's only there to hold it together, it's not there as a food ingredient, then it's not going to change the bracha.
Why did Tosfos have to say the
same exact thing as an explicit gemara? Because the Tosfos sometimes will do that, meaning he's connecting the two sugyas. Meaning you're learning Lam Vavim Beis, you may not yet be fully familiar, so you're just going to take it at face value. That anything that has any grain, as Barney Menem says, but just keep in mind, this is not being cholek on the later sugya, right? That too. One might have assumed, oh, Lamed Vavam Beis tells us that if there's any grain, it's mizonos. Lamed Tesamad Aleph tells us that, no, sometimes there's grain and it's not mizonos. Machlokas asugyas. Tos says, no, not a machlokas asugyas. They complement each other. We're talking about where it's a food ingredient, and over there it's talking about where it's Ledavid Bialma. So since they complement each other, not a machlokas asugyas, probably that's why. That's the derech of the Balei Tosfos in general, is to always make the sugyas work with each other. Rashi didn't seem to be so interested in doing that. Rashi very rarely will start quoting to you from other sugyas and trying to be miyashev how all the gemaras fit together. That was the Balei Tosfos liked to do. The Balei Tosfos saw a gemara, they saw every gemara. They like to show how all the different gemaras work together. That's the unique style of the Balei Tosfos. So let's take a look at the Rush. Says the Rush in Siman Zayin, Chavetz Kedera v'chein Daisa, Ke'in Chavetz Kedera, Kegon de'ika ben Duvsha, Rav Yudah Amr Sha'akal Rav Kanam Bray Minei Mizonos. Amr Rav Yosef, Nukot d'Rav Kana b'yadech. You should follow the Shita of Rav Kana. Why do you follow the Shita of Rav Kana that's Bray Minei Mizonos? D'Rav Shmuel Dami Tavayu Kol Sheyesh Bem Chamesh Minim Varchalav Bray Minei Mizonos. Because Rav and Shmuel both say, anything that has Chamesh Saminim, you say Bray Minei Mizonos. Rav Mendel Blachman used to advise us in Yeshiva that when you learn Bekiyas, to learn Gemara Rashi Rush. Why Gemara Rashi Rush rather than Gemara Rashi Tosos? So he used to say that, first of all, the Rush is much easier than Tosos. What?
The Maral wanted to do originally the Pinchot Brassus for the Mark.
Oh, yeah? Oh, okay. So first of all, it's easier. It's much easier to see the Rush than Tosos. Also, you find when you do Gemara Rashi, Ishta Tosos too, but when you learn the Rush and you learn the Rush, you also get a review of the Gemara. So it's good to chazer over the Gemara many times. It's another way that you see it one more time in a different context. So it's good chazara. So over here also, everything he said so far is beferish in the Gemara. V'chein ilchsa. And that's how we paskin. Why? Darav Yosef Maisi Minayuraya. Hilkach Kol She'ikaro Mechameshes Haminin. Here it is. Anything that's Ikaro Mechameshes Haminin. Afilu Rubo Mimin Acher. Even if it's not the majority, but it's Ikaro Mevarch Mil Bari Minim Mizonos. Lubsof Brachachachas Mein Shalosh. Then you say Bari Minim Mizonos and Brachachachas Mein Shalosh. If the Rush stopped right there, what would you tell me? What role does the mizonos have to play? It has to be an ikar, right? Meaning that you have to justifiably be able to say, oh, you know what I'm really eating here? I'm eating breadcrumbs. There happens to be chicken inside those breadcrumbs, but I'm eating breadcrumbs. You would call it, chickened breading, right? As opposed to breaded chicken. You would say that it is the ikar. It may not be the majority, but that's the chashivas of bread. Bread is so chashiv that even when it's not the majority, it's able to take over the status of the ikar. But he continues. Aval, tavshil shenosin sham kemach lahakfos hamachal uledavko lo chashiv ikar. Ooh, then he starts defining ikar for us, and what's not ikar. He's defining what ikar is by what it's not. What's not ikar? if it's Ladovka, which implies that anything, if it serves any higher purpose than Ladovka, then it is going to be Iker by his definition. That's what the Gemara says in Lama Tess. The Afal gav dilchsa kavasayu b'hach meimor kamaisa b'hach meimor tinyan the Gemara kol shu. Okay, then he's moving on already to the kol shu, and he says we reject the kol shu. We say bari minim zonos on rice. Fine, but that's not really relevant right now for our discussion. So when you come out of this rush, there are points in the rush where he says, oh, it's got to be an ikur. So you feel like the bread and chicken for sure is only going to be a shahakol because it is not, the breading is not an ikur. But then he starts defining what's not ikur. And instead of saying the biggest chiddush, you know what's not ikur? Even if it's there for taste, and it's there for crunchiness, and it's there for, I don't know, whatever other reasons, but it's not the ikur of the food, it would be shakal. He doesn't say that. He says, no, you know when it's still shakal? If it's only there, l'dvuka v'yalma. That's when it's not the ikur. So while the formulation he started with sounded like the breading has to be the ikur, as he continues, he seems to move away from that. Now, important to note, because it's going to come up in other Rishonim, that I think the one of the Mefarshim on the bottom over here, yeah, in the Divrei Chamudos, Osiotes, Kosova Rabbeinu David Abu Draham B'Shem Rav Rabbeinu Yonah, Didavka kishiyesh ba me'ech meheminim kidei sheyochal mimenu kizayis dagon b'kidei achilas pras. Another way of defining what could make it ikur and what would not make it ikur. Yeah, you're going to say bari minim zonos even if grain is a minority ingredient, but how minority? It's got to be that you're having a kizayis b'kidei achilas pras. How much is that? What percentage of the food? How much bigger is a pras than a kizayis? What is a pras? A pras means a half a piece, half a loaf, right? So a kezayis we assume is a chatzi beitza, right? A pras is six beitzim. I'm sorry, a full loaf is six beitzim. A pras is three beitzim. So if a kezayis is a chatzi beitza, which we'll assume for now, it's machlokes a chatzi or shlish. Let's say a kezayis is a chatzi beitza and a pras is three beitzim. I say beitza, not beya. I hope no one's offended. But that's whatever. Machlokas and Mefarshim at the beginning of Maseches Beitza. Ayin Shal. Chayv Adam Lomar Blushin Rabbi. Shachta says beitza. So right? No one's offended? Okay. Remember, we once learned Kiddushin. Shachta said, Chasidish Yeshivas, they don't learn Kiddushin because they're afraid the boys are going to have Yerurim. Anyone here having Yerurim? And no one raised their hand, of course. He says, okay, so weiter. Like, what would have happened if someone would have said, I am, like, would that have changed the whole shiur? Ah, brachos it is, not kiddushin. I don't know what the, but, so the if the shiur of a kezayis in relation to a pras is 1/6, so essentially you need 1/6 of the ingredients to be the grain. So you would need like a serious thick layer of breading. Like last night they had fried chicken over here for dinner. You could find the breading if you really looked for it, but like it wasn't, there wasn't much of it. There wasn't a ton of breading. It was like a few crumbs on each piece, at least the chicken that I saw. So that would not be anywhere near kezayis b'kidei achilas pras. Meaning he seems to be assuming that it's not that this rule that anytime there's any chamesh minim automatically that becomes a mizonos. No, it has to be an ikur, but ikur is defined as playing a reasonably significant role. It doesn't have to be the title of the food, the label of the food, that you're going to call it breading with some chicken inside of it. No, but it has to be playing a food-like role. If you don't even have a kezayis b'kidei achilas pras, then you don't have that at all. Yeah.
Is it a percentage or an amount? Like, percentage-wise, if you had enough, then you would have a kezayis, but you're just having small pieces.
Oh, if you're eating less than a pras, it sounds like percentage. Meaning, it would make sense that it would be percentage, unless you're talking about bracha achrona, where it would make sense that it would be amount and percentage, right? Meaning, because if you're talking about saying an alamichya, you need a shear to say an alamichya. So it could be for bracha achrona that it would be both, but for bracha rishona lechara it would just be percentage. Yeah.
So according to this, there's nothing different on how quickly you eat the schnitzel.
No, that's what I'm saying. I don't think it's about how quickly you eat the schnitzel. I think it's the percentage. It's how much of a role does the breading play in it, and that's determined by the ratio. Now, how quickly you think is this process in terms of eating fulfilling the mitzvah of matzah on the night of the Seder, which, by the way, is machlokas achron, machlokas between the Mishabur and the Minchas Chinuch. When we say that you have to eat a kazayis of matzah b'chdei achilas pras, b'chdei achilas pras of what? Is it b'chdei achilas pras of lechem or b'chdei achilas pras of matzah? Big difference. Because a pras of lechem you can eat much faster than a pras of matzah. So, I don't know if any of you have older siblings who got really firm way before you did, and they came home and they with a chart of how big a kazayas is. So it's not, they take the chart out and it unfolds to equal a kazayas. So they need an entire box of matzahs to get a kazayas, and they got to eat it within 2 minutes. Why 2 minutes? Because that's the kazayas price. So they stuff and stuff and stuff and stuff. They're like it challenges the limits of a human mouth, and then they swallow it because a beis habliya is supposed to be able to hold two kazayasim, and they swallow it all at one time. So Rav Shach used to point out that l'chora one could be somech on the minchas chinuch. Rav Shach the pasuk this way, he didn't even tell us that the Bir Halacha disagreed, but that the minchas chinuch shita is that it's a kazayas b'chdei achilas pras of what you're eating. So if you hold a kazayas is this big, then you hold that you have the amount of time that it takes to eat six of these, right? At a normal pace, not 2 minutes. It would be kedeach is pras of that food. Times the Mishmaru disagrees that we measure it by bread. We probably are, kazayas are way too big anyway, probably. But you could probably, we asked Rav Shechter, how big is a kazayas of matzah? He said about this big, that big. That's nothing, so. They say they used to, the palm of the hand, the stipler used to say the size of the palm of the hand was a kazayas of matzah. Yeah, not so big. I think it's important to be makel on the sheer kazayas, because at least this is what I've seen, that the from Yeshiva Bacher comes with his giant kazayas, and every woman at the table who's chayiv midoraisa in matzah, by the way, looks at that from Yeshiva Bacher and says, if that's the mitzvah, I ain't doing that. And she'll just take a little nibble of a matzah and not even try to have a kazayas. Because if that's a kazayas, why should I try to do that? But if we're more reasonable about a sheer kazayas, so then people will actually try to eat a kazayas.
Rabbi Sheik always says that the same rabbis who say the sheer of kazayas is this big on Pesach,
it's sheer kosevis and Yom Kippur. It's a different sheer, but that makes sense that you go to Chumra, on a daraisa in both directions. So it's not like totally out of the blue, but yeah. Do you have the Bedika Samazan? So there's a book of the sheer kazayas of different foods, like how many Twizzlers is a kazayas, how many of all these common foods. So if you look up olives in that book, we might have it here. How many olives is a kazayas? So I think it said three large olives is a kazayas. And that really challenges the imagination. How's that possible that three large olives is a kazayas? Yeah. Why what? Because Mitzvah Shazman Grammy is saying. Yeah, so the Gemara is a drasha called Sheshon Balto Chalcham, it's Sheshon Bekum Achlamatzah. That's one of those twin mitzvahs. The lav goes with the essay. You should know, even though women are part of Mitzvah Shazman Grammy, there are only like six of them. There are more exceptions than there are the rule in terms of Torah of Mitzvah Shazman Grammy.
Is it possible that the size of olives has changed?
Yeah, that's what they say, that the size of olives has changed. Plus, you don't count the pit. When you're reading the there are explanations. I'm not saying it's totally off the wall, but it's a little bit off the wall. Three large olives, not even medium olives. Three large olives is a little much. So in Divrei Chamutz Zavir, quotes of Ben Yonah, we'll see it inside that only if you have a kazayis b'chdei achilas pras. Avamein bozeh ashir mehe minim einum varich l'besof gimel brachos el b'tchilim varich hamotzi kimin sheish bo tam dagan. Ooh. So he says, no, if it's not, because this old din is only about bracha achrona. I was wrong. This old din is only about bracha achrona. For bracha rishona, it's all about tam. Ooh, so how much do you need in order to create tam dagan? A mashu? No, a mashu wouldn't be enough. What's the shear of tam in general? Shishim, right? Shishim is how we determine tam. If a little bit of milk falls into your chicken soup, how do you know if you have tam of milk in the chicken soup? So we assume shishim is benosin tam. Av b'shein b'gzayi zang b'tchei achilis pras, u'b'sov mein shalosh. V'u'adim k'shabishlu b'kadeiru shem v'arich t'chil l'barim m'mzonos, al b'sov m'varich barim n'fashos rabos. Okay, let's leave that out for now. So if you were to put the rush in, you know, we're trying to arrange our Rishonim and figure out who says what. Who says that that for breaded chicken cutlets that you say a barim n'mzonos, and who says you say shakal n'bidvaro? What impression do you get from the rush? Right, I would think you'd get the impression that it's Mizonos, because he describes not being an Iker as being Ledevet Bialma. Now, you could argue that no, he gives that example not because that's the only definition of a non-Iker, he gives that example because the Gemara gives that example. But he defines the Halacha really as being an Iker, and Iker's probably defined by the shame, by the, you know, by what you would call it. You could argue that. That's just not the way I read the Rush, but one could certainly make such an argument. Now, you go ahead to Rabbeinu Yonah, the Rif, right? The Rif just quotes our Gemara, Kol Sheyesh Mechamesh Nimrachal Abarim Minei Mezonos, V'chein Hilchasa. So, says the Rabbeinu Yonah, on the bottom of Chafeim Beis, Chavetz Kederu V'chein Daisu Teke'en Chavetz Kederu, Chavetz Kederu Humachal She'osin Mikemach, U'maptilin Bo Dvash Harbei, Vinasa ava al yedei hadvash, v'sharmine metikol shematilin bo. It becomes thick because you added a lot of honey and it gave it this thick substance. Uminabrinon v'chein daisa deken chavis gerer shaminu shelo yivarech al daisa el kshenechtu shu hachitim v'nidbeku v'nasa dumya dechavitz kedera. That's if it all becomes ground up and connected. Avlim bisha lachitim shleimim. V'agarinim omdim shleimim. Elim varech leim el bar piyadama. Fine. If you have whole pieces, then it would only be a bore pri ha'adama. Where does he get to? One second. Where does he have the formulation? If you look at, yeah, the in V'gaon Echad Omer, is that where it is? It starts getting into specific types of food. No, that's already where he's going on to Orez. So where does he define this? I'm not sure. I thought I saw this. I don't know. Okay, so let's move on straight to the Beis Yosef. So the Beis Yosef appears in a couple of, I mean, Beis Yosef itself actually is primarily in Siman Reish Ches, which is where this halacha comes up. Although it also comes up in Reish Dalid and in Reish Yud Beis. But in Reish Ches, that's where we quoted the Torah last time. What does the Torah say? That if you have Chameshes Minei Dagon, and he defines what they are, the five Minei Dagon, he enumerates them, Gam Kein Chashuvin Shenshachu Ben Eretz Yisrael, Shekus Minei Menchitim, all five grains are Chashuv, because they're all Neshtabuch Ben Eretz Yisrael, and they are all Yichya Ha'adam on them, Hilkach afilu lo asuman pas el tavshil kigon maisa kedera vidaisa afilu irivem dvash, even though you're only making a cooked dish out of it and you mix a lot of honey into it, bore mine mizonos and ala michya, because kol sheyesh bo michmesh mine say bore mine mizonos. And therefore he says, Hilkach, tavshil shum, this is the tour, tavshil shum mechamesh saminim, afilu irivimo dvar macherim. If you have a tavshil that's made from chamesh saminim, even though many other things are mixed in with it, ad shenasu rov, to the point that the other things are the majority. So we pointed out last time in the Torah, what does that sound like? That primarily this dish is defined as grain. Oh, but you added a lot of honey and other things, and to the point that the grain is now the minority. Yeah, but ikaro, what does ikaro mean? That's what it was at its core. Aval im lo nosim mehem betavshil el lakfosel l'davko betelim betavshil. But again, he turns around and he says, but if it's only there, if the grain is only there, l'davko, then it's tafel, and it would not be bar min mezonos. So again, not so clear that the Torah is trying to tell us that you would determine it purely based on whether it's really the ikker, whether people would identify it as the ikker, because when he describes the flip side, he says, yeah, and if it's only l'devek bi'alma, then it's shakal, but otherwise it's going to be mezonos. So the Torah himself is not abundantly clear. And then you look in the Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef quotes the Rush. He says the Torah is quoting the Rush, and he quotes the Gemaras, and then he says, "Vikasava Rashba." The Rashba writes, "Duvsha Iker Pirish Rubo Dvash Mi Uto Solas V'Inami Ikaro Machmas Dvash V'Solto Lahat Imo Ulahachshiro." If either it's mostly dvash and minority solas, or it's primarily dvash and the solas is lahatimo. These are the two key words. Lahatimo ulahachshiro. What does that mean? Lahatimo? It's right. It's there to give taste. Now, there's a difference between no sein tam and lahatimo. No sein tam means that in the end of the day, there is taste. Lahatimo means you're putting it there for the taste. You're looking for the taste. You want the taste. Lachshiro, a little more difficult to translate. To prepare it, to make it good. I don't know why that's different than latimo. Mivarchan ala solas. So if either the dvash is the majority, but the grain is still the ikr, or, meaning the dvash is the majority, but the grain is still a primary ingredient, or the grain is just there, latimo lachshiro, so then you would say bari min mezonos. So this in this edition of the Torah, by the word vi'inami of the Rashba, where he quotes the Rashba, it points you to a ha'aros ubi'urim on the bottom of the page, and it says b'mayimor Mordechai heir de b'Rashba anusach vi'imikain b'makom vi'inami u'perush echad hu. That it's not inami, a second pshat, it's imkain. The Rashba is not saying two things, the Rashba is saying one thing. And what's the Rashba saying? That if there's grain, lahatimo, or lahachshiro, I don't care how small a percentage the grain is, it's a mezonos. Right? That's what the Rashba is saying. When you read the Beis Yosef, is the Beis Yosef presenting over here conflicting opinions? Is he saying, oh, you should know, the Rush says this, but the Rashba is cholik. The Rashba disagrees. Or is he just saying, you know, the Rush says this, v'chein amar Rashba, you know, the Rashba says the same thing. So he quotes the Torah. He says, "Kach kosev shama Rash." This is how the Rash says, and it's based on the Gemara. "V'kosev haRashba." He doesn't tell us halacha one way or the other, like the Rashba or the Rash. He doesn't tell us the Rashba is necessarily arguing on the Rash. Right? He just tells us, you know, that the Rashba. Why would he quote the Rashba if he's not arguing on the Rash? What?
He says it a little differently.
He gives a little more explanation. I don't think the Beis Yosef thinks the Rashba is arguing on the Rash. I think the Beis Yosef looks at the Gemara, he looks at the Rash, and he looks at the Torah, and he says, oh, you want to understand the Rash and the Torah? The Rashba gives us a little color over here. Latimo l'hachshira. V'lo dami l'tavshila d'lefisa d'yalfa gav d'mach sh'beikim chalom v'orkin alei ala sha'akal d'asim ishim d'kim chalav l'hachshir l'meyev beitayim ha'marvin bei el l'dvuke be'alma. Yeah, you see the Lashon? You can't compare this to the case of the turnip dish, because over there, lav lahachshir l'meyev beitayim ha'marvin bei, it's not lahachshir, it's not to give tam, el l'dvuke be'alma. It's only l'dvuke be'alma. Avalach d'la'achshure tavshila iu ikr. Oh, a lot of people want to say, oh, the Rush is in disagreement with the Rashba. The Rush says it needs to be an Iker. And the Rashba says, no, Latimo Lachshiro, it's a machlokas. And why would I pass the Rashba against the Rush? Look at Beis Yosef. What's Beis Yosef saying? The Rashba is defining Iker. He's saying Latimo Lachshiro means it's Iker. That's the definition of Iker. I may be looking at this with biased glasses, but that's what I see. In the end of Simon Reish Dalid, the end of Siman Reish Daled. Also, he quotes the Rambam. Beis Yosef quotes the Rambam. Perek Gimel Halach Sein Vav. Kol Shu Ikar Vimo Tefelin Baruch Al Ikar Potas Tefela. Right? The basic halacha of Ikar and Tafel. She kol dover shema arvin oso ledabek o kidei litein reyach o kidei litzvoa es hataf shel reizu tefela. What's going to be a tafel? If it's there to hold it together? Or even less than that, even reyach, you want it to smell a certain way, which to me is interesting because reyach and tam are very closely related. That's every kid's science experiment when he didn't think of doing the science experiment until the night before. You know, cut up onions and celery and hold the nose and have the, no offense to anyone who did that as a science experiment, but like, right, the sense of smell is very connected to the sense of taste. You're not winning first place. Avilim irev, kidei litein tam b'taroves, harehu ikr. But if you mix it in to give tam, then it becomes the ikr. And therefore, mine dvash, em vashem osam nosvem, chelukhita, kidei ledabik, vosvem mine metika, you don't say barim name is zonos. So what's he saying? What does the Rambam say? If it's litein tam b'taroves, if it's litein tam b'taroves, it is a mezonos. If you're putting it there to give tam, it's a mezonos. Nothing about it being needing to be the ikur. Yeah. And then Beis Yosef pretty much says so explicitly as he continues to Shemirv k'dei litein tam b'taroves hareyu ikr v'advash kiven shu ba litein tam b'taroves. Fine, that's if there's not with the grain. So you open up a Shulchan Aruch to Reish Ches. You open up a Shulchan Aruch to Reish Ches, and Shulchan Aruch reads as follows. Achal dagan chai, no. Chameshes minei dagan, reish chesed beis, chameshes minei dagan shasholkan, o kachan, vasmeem tafshil, go maisa kadeira harifos vigarish karmel vadaisa, afilu irvimam dvash harbe yosemem, o minim achirim harbe yosemem, even there's way more other ingredients, mvarichala, bori minim sonos vasolf alamichya. Avlim lo nasan adagan vatafshil, ela lidovko ula hakfoso vatal vatafshil. What does he say? When do you not say a mezonos? So the Shulchan Aruch is not about quoting Gemaras. Shulchan Aruch is about giving you the halacha, right? When do you not say a mezonos? If it's ledavko lahakfosa. But if it's anything more than that, you would say a mezonos. L'chora. The Taz just points out, which is controversial in its own right, that if it's only Ledovko, even if it's a majority, it would not be a mezonos. He says, by other things, it could be you follow majority, but over here, we don't follow majority. We follow what its role in the food is. So that's what the Taz points out. And the Taz in Sivkat and Gimel over there. Kan b'chamesh saminim shem chashuvim b'yoser lo azlim b'basar rov. Rakol shenosmos on the ma'achol, lema'achol. How does the Taz define this halacha? If the grain is being put there lema'achol, what does that mean? Doesn't say ikur, doesn't say that's what it's called, the food is called. It's there for a food purpose. For a food-like purpose. Mashenke b'shar devon, razin basar rov, as opposed to other things where we follow the rov. And then he says, even if you can't taste it, but it's for some other food-like purpose, probably crunchiness or something like that, would also be a food-like purpose. Yeah. So, but over there, the Gemara explicitly says it's not a food-like purpose. What? Yeah, the Gemara explicitly says that then it would not be a mezonos in that case. Yeah. And all the Rishonim pass in that way, and that's right. That's clear. So we're apparently considering consistency alone. You know, the davik is just that it shouldn't fall apart. So, like, let's say you would put it in the, when they sell chocolate milk, So you ever wonder, if you make a glass of chocolate milk, I don't know if you still do this since you're seven or whatever, but if you make a glass of chocolate milk and you let it sit for a while, if you were using like cocoa powder or something like that, after a while it would settle. You ever wonder the magic of like sold, you know, the chocolate milk they sell, that doesn't happen? So they put enzymes in there that are as a davar maimed that keeps it like that. So that would be that a non-food like purpose. That would be, you know, like a ledavik bialma, that you're just trying to keep a certain substance, you're trying to keep a certain, but that's not a food purpose. But if it's there for flavor, for crunchiness, for something like that, that would probably be considered a food like purpose. So the in Shulchan Aruch in Reish Dalid also quotes the same exact halacha. Why does he quote it in Reish Dalid? Reish Dalid is the halachas of what bracha you make on foods in general, for all other foods, not the halachas of alamichya, just the halachas of bracha rishon on foods. So in Siv Yud Beis, kol shu ikar v'imot tefela, mivarech al ikar, poter asa tefela. Good. The standard halacha, vikar and tafel. You think that's what he's telling you. The standard halacha, vikar and tafel. V'kol davar shema arvino sa ledavek, o kadei liten reach, o kadei litzvoa atavshil. He gives examples. Ledavek, reach, litzvoa. We've seen that already. Those harezu tefela. Avlimirik, kadei liten tam bitaroves, hareu ikar. But if you're mixing it in, why am I screaming those words, mixing it in? Because the whole diuk everyone wants to make about why the chicken cutlet tzarei shahakol is because we said that it's the rush had said that ikar, it's a grain. And then you start being mosif. You start throwing in honey and you start throwing on top of the grain. No, but if ikar, it's something else and you're mixing grain into something else, then the grain is only going to be a tafel. Not what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says you're mixing some grain into your food in order to give it some tam. Then it becomes the ikur. Even though the grain wasn't there first, it's not primarily grain. And he says, minei dvash, that you cook and you throw in some grain. Kedei ledabek, eino mevarech bari minei mezonos. But if you're putting it in for flavor, yes, mevarech bari minei mezonos. Is that the halacha of ikur and tafel? That's not the halacha of ikur and tafel, that's the halacha of chamesh saminim. So Magen Avraham already points out, oh, by the way, Shulchan Aruch over here isn't really giving you the standard halacha of ikur and tafel. He's just telling you the halacha of chamesh saminim over here. I mean, he's telling you our ikur and tafel sugya, not the original ikur and tafel sugya. Yeah.
This also says that the Rosh and the Rashba, as the Rosh was explaining and elaborating the Rosh.
He didn't say that explicitly. That was my read of the Beis Yosef.
So then how would that work with this? Because the Rosh clearly says that it's, in essence, you're just throwing in...
No, but that's what I think. I think the Rosh is lav dafka about throwing in, meaning he says that the grain has to be an ikar. What makes it an ikar? But because it's grain, what makes it an ikar is that it's there for taste. Meaning lahatimo lahakshira, that's enough to make it an ikar. He happened to have been talking about a case where it started with grain and then you put so much honey in that there's way more honey than grain. But it doesn't have to be that way. That's what I'm trying to suggest. And therefore, if you, the Mishnah Berurah, I think in a few places, as I point out, Mishnah Berurah, Reish Yud Beis is the other place where this comes up in Shulchan Aruch, because that's the halacha of Ikar and Tafel. Ikar and Tafel is Reish Yud Beis. Kol Shu Ikar V'Imo Tfeila, Morech Al Ikar Poter Sa Tfeila. Where was it though? I think it's Siv Katan Zion over there, the Mishnah Berurah is even more explicit.
Reish Yud
Yeah, ha'ikr tchila v'achar kach ha'tafel kadei lematek es ha'ikr kagon achal. No, that's not it. I thought I saw. Yeah, I don't remember where it was. There was another Mishnah Berurah which was pretty clear in my mind that it would be considered an ikr as long as it's serving some sort of food purpose. But I don't think you need the Mishnah Berurah. Shulchan Aruch says that. What?
Yeah,
I said Rishon Beis Aleph last time, but I think there's another one that's even more explicit. But in my mind, the Shulchan Aruch already says that. So what did we say last time? Last time we said, it's a chiddush the Me'iri has that you're going to say Shahakol. Now the Me'iri was pretty explicit in that way. But we were trying to say it's just the Rashba going against the Tur, going against the Rush, going against the Meiri. The Rashba's like this Das Yachra on an island, and even the Rashba, it's an Inami, it's a second answer in the Rashba. Who says we pass like that second answer in the Rashba? Well, I'll tell you who says we pass like the second answer in the Rashba. You tell me, who says we pass like that second answer in the Rashba? Rav Yosef Kaira. The guy who wrote the Shulchan Aruch tells me we pass like that second answer, even if you hold it's two answers, and it's not just explaining each other. Rav Yosef Kaira says we pass in that way. And the Ramah doesn't argue. And Rav Yosef Kaira didn't say it once, he said it twice, that we pass in that way. So I don't see what there's... It's hard for me to understand what there is to argue about, unless you say, look, last night's chicken, I said a shakal one. Because I did not think the breading was there lahatimo or lahakshiro. I think probably the initial recipe was, but like you couldn't count the crumbs on one hand. But if like there's a reasonable amount of crumbs on it, like it's mamish breaded chicken, you know, the kind that you would get from the kind that you see in the Kentucky Fried Chicken commercials, you know, like I don't know the metzias, but in the commercials at least. So then that lechora would be a mezonos. Now in the Sefer Mezonos HaBracha, he tries to distinguish between thick breading and thin breading, and I think he quotes Rabbi Tzion Abba Shaul had such a chilik. And I think a lot of what the poskim say over here is not really a machlokas in halacha. You know, you have a lot of discussion in poskim about how schnitzel is really a shakal. I think they were dealing with like very little breading. I think they were dealing with certainly breading that wasn't really adding flavor, and that was just stopping something from burning in a frying pan or something like that. Nowadays, if you want something not to burn in a frying pan, you know what you do? You spray it with pan, and it won't burn in the frying pan. Like you don't need breading or flour to stop it from burning in the frying pan. So nowadays, I think if you're putting breading on, it's because you want the taste and the crunchiness of the breading. Not only that, very often my wife makes all the time breaded chicken, baked, not fried, baked. We don't fry things because that's certainly not an oil. We don't fry things, but like baked. So if you're gonna, what would be the reason to do that? Why don't I just grill it on the barbecue? I do that a lot of times also, but that's when we want grilled chicken. There's when we want breaded chicken. I think it's an entirely different food. I saw in Piskei Tshuvos, just to bring it down to contemporary, very contemporary poskim, he says, I saw in some of the Likud Svarim that they distinguish between thick and thin. By the way, Avram, I stole the Piskei Tshuvos from Marco. Yeah, I apologize. That some of the Likud Svarim distinguish between thick and thin. I don't know where that comes from. No such distinction exists. You know, I don't see what's so difficult about that. He thinks everything is shakal. It's automatically a shakal. In Mezonos HaBracha, he says la halacha achras haposkim is that it's considered only a tavlin, and the bracha of the schnitzel is going to be a shakal. But if it's thick, then it's bari minei mezonos. So what do? Wash. So again, I realize that I'm a man on an island over here, and my own Rebbeim probably disagree with me, and I just don't understand why. I think if you just the simple reading of the Rishonim and the Beis Yosef and the Shulchan Aruch, I think it just yields the result that if it's giving any reasonable taste, or you know, like it's an ingredient for a food like lezen and not just to hold it together. You know, on a kugel, a potato kugel calls for flour, so that you could argue is just holding it together. If it doesn't taste substantially different, it's more solid. So that, like, you ever noted, like at a caterer's kiddush, they have those tall potato kugels. Like, how do they stand? Like, how does that work? How are they so tall and they don't flop over because they put some flour in it? So I think that's probably just ledevik b'alma. That's probably not. That's probably not so much for the taste.
What about deli roll?
What about a deli roll? So you're asking mizonos ramotzi, or are you asking shahakol mizonos, or shahakol mizonos ramotzi?
I'm asking shahakol mizonos.
So, mistum, it's not shahakol.
Right?
What about a deli sandwich? Right, but you're eating for the deli inside. No, it's between two pieces of bread. It's not. You don't say that way. So we're going to discuss, pass up a kistin, hopefully, and we'll discuss how we define exactly pasul baba kisling, flaky dough, and whether mizonos hamotzi shayla. That's the real deli roll shayla, the mizonos hamotzi shayla.
Some of the deli rolls, like, it's packed with meat, like the deli roll, just to, like, keep, like...
You don't get your hands dirty.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Can you give some of the opposing opinions and reasons why they say shayla? Are you...
You want Mar Makomos, or you want,
like, what did they interpret differently?
Oh, so what did they interpret differently? So first they interpret that the Rush and the Tur hold that it has to be the Iker, right? And
but
that
they just didn't read the next line.
They hold the next line was just the example the Gemara gave, but it really has to be the Iker. Second of all, they say that the Metzius is that it's only to stop it from burning in the frying pan. It's not. Third, they say that it's not the whole halacha is when you have a tarovis. Over here, there's no tarovis. There's a wrapping around something. That's what Rav Vosner says. When it's like a breading around a chicken, it's not a tarovis of chicken and breading. It's, you know, something that's, you know, if like you have a confectioner sugar on the top of a piece of cake, it's obviously just there for decoration and whatever. It's not, you know, doesn't define the cake. So that's how Rav Vosner understands. You have a little bit of breading around the chicken, that doesn't really, it's not a tarovis. When it's part of, it's not really part of the food. Those are the svaras that I've seen. In Vizos HaBracha, in the main section, not in the Birum in the back, he writes that he always has a separate section in a different font for Bnei Sfard. For Sfardim, he has a fancier font for Sfardim, that are more spitzy. So he writes that after quoting the Sephardic Gedolim and what they say about this, he says, but by the way, it makes no difference whether you're Sephardi or Ashkenazi, meaning the Sephardic Gedolim weren't passing just for Sephardim on this, because this has nothing to do with Mechaber Ramah. This has nothing to do with Sephardim or Ashkenazim, which that also you should be aware. So Sephardim very often say, I follow Maran Rav Avadia, you know, and everything. But this is not like, you know, this has nothing to do with Sephardic Pesach versus Ashkenazic Pesach. Okay, I gotta go give another shir if there's anyone there.
Not dramatic, but